God laid this on my heart. I'm thinking, well, Linda, every time you get up there, you talk about the same thing. So in a way it is, but maybe not. It's a little different. The one part of the scripture that I'm going to use today, I'm talking about God's provision for us. He will always provide. In the Old Testament, there's so many beautiful examples, and then in the New Testament. So we're going to do some Old Testament first, and we're going to go back into Genesis, and you probably say, oh, she's going to use this scripture again. But Abraham and Isaac, when he was asked to offer Isaac. So in chapter 22 of Genesis, and we're going to come to this the other one later on. But when, you know, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom, and I'm in the first verse, I didn't even tell you what I'm reading, I'm sorry, 1 through 14. Take now thy son, that thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men. I'm reading from the old, from the King James. I forgot to tell you that. His young men with him, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hands and a knife, and they both went both of them together. And Isaac said unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld that son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So that story to me is like almost, and not as special, of course, as the Christmas story. You know, we hear the Christmas story every year. We hear the story of Easter. We hear all of these stories. This story to me is just the epitome of God's grace and how he will test us and how we become, and how he will provide. You know, we sing that little song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. He can do anything. He can work in us. He can bring Paul to ministry. And he's being tested right now. He's going through a time of testing. And we're going through a time of testing. We need to pray. We need to really get serious about praying. And I think that's one of the reasons God allows these things, I know it is, to come to us. If we never had a need, why would we pray? You know, if you never had a problem, it's a little song or something that says, if we didn't have a problem, we wouldn't know God could solve them. Well, you know, if you never had a problem, why would you need God? But, you know, the days of Eden are gone. You know, he put humanity in a perfect place. And what did man do? He sinned. So we can't handle that perfection. But what God asked Abraham to do here, and it never said that Abraham questioned God. I'm sure in his mind he did. What's going on? Why did he ask me to do this? And God, full knowing that he would eventually do the same thing with his own son. But he didn't have a ram to take the place, because Jesus was the only one who could take our place. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful place where God shows his provision. And in Exodus 16, and I'm going to read a few of these scriptures, Moses and the Israelites in the desert. We all know that story. It's all familiar to us. But there are some things in there. Every time you read a story, I guess you find this too. When you read a story anew and you get into it, you learn something new every time. You learn something new. And in the story about Moses and the Israelites in the desert, God was so perfect in the way he wanted them to behave. Now, the Israelites were brought out of, let me find my 16, I forgot to mark Exodus, I have my other ones marked. Okay. He had brought them out of bondage. They were slaves. They were, you know, we know how they were being put upon to build the pyramids and doing all this hard work. And God called them out, and he called Moses to bring them out of that. And then when he got them out and they got in the desert, he fed them. He took care of them. And what did the people do? They murmured and complained. They got tired of eating manna every day. And they said they would have rather been back in Egypt, because, you know, just let them die, you know, in the desert. Or why would you bring us to the desert to die when we were being fed? I mean, they had to work, but they were being fed in Egypt. And starting with the second verse there, it says, and this is Exodus 16, if you want to turn. You don't have to do that if you don't want to, because these are my little backup stories. Starting with verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth from there into this place in the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they walk in the law, in my law, or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it will be twice as much as they gather daily. Now I'm going to stop there for a minute. He told them exactly how much to gather each day, and nothing extra, until this getting ready for the Sabbath. He didn't want them gathering on the Sabbath, so he said, do double. The day before the Sabbath, gather twice as much. And only twice as much. And only gather what you can eat, because if it stayed, it was going to be gone. It was going to go bad. It was not going to be edible. And it says, in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? Now he's talking about, I had to think about that. He's talking about him and Aaron. Moses and Aaron, they were murmuring against him, but they were really murmuring against God. And Moses said, this shall be that when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And he goes on down and they give all the different things that they have to do. You know, you and I, well, I do this, and I guess I was raised to do this. My mother always went to the grocery store once a week. You go once a week, you get everything you needed for the week. That was no running to the grocery store every day like we do today, you know. And you'd store up. You'd store up what you needed. And you would get stuff. And I do it today. I still buy too much stuff and end up throwing out some things that I can't get to or can't use. God doesn't want us to do that. Now, I don't know that I can tell you that we all need to buy exactly what we're going to use and be so exact. But he was here. He wanted them to be obedient. He didn't want them storing stuff back for the next day. Why? Because they had to trust in God. They had to trust him. Oh, we better save some of this back. We better keep some because, you know, maybe God's not going to come tomorrow and give us this. You know, he's not going to rain that bread down through from heaven. We'll keep some. He doesn't want us to do that. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have a pantry and have things to eat, you know. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying to them, this was total dependence on God. And as hard as it is to think, when people do not have, they need to use this, the promises of God, and they need to trust God. Because he will supply their need. Didn't say he's going to give you a mansion here. Didn't say he was going to give you diamonds and a big car and all of that stuff that we think is so important. And you have to wonder, do people think they're taking it with them? You know, God allows us to have nice things. And some people have more nice things than other people. That doesn't make anybody any better. He sees us all the same. Whether you're driving an old car, the jalopy, something that's ready to fall apart, or if you're a brand new car you just got, he doesn't care. That stuff is nothing to him. And it's not wrong to have nice things. It's not wrong. If it becomes more important than serving God and giving to God, because you know what it says, you know, if you have, God doesn't really look at the amount you give, it's what you have left after you've given, you know. And you know, we all want to squirrel that away, don't we? We all want to squirrel that money away. And personally, some of the things that, I worked and we saved money, and I have found that, oh my goodness. a lot of that's gone because of situations in my life. And you think, oh, you know, is God going to take care of me? Yes, he is. He's going to take care of you. And let's say you run out of money. You run out of money. God's there. He likes us to depend on him. He wants us to trust him to the point that these Israelites, they had to, that had to be faith. And yes, I can understand them mumbling and grumbling. If you had to eat the same thing every day and you got tired of it. And so then he gave them the flesh and he gave them meat to eat. But, you know, he supplied their need. He supplied their need. Okay, then we get into another scripture. Now this is in 1 Kings 17. And this came to me last night late. I'm thinking, of examples. Elijah. In verse 1 through 7, 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, I like to say that, Tishbite. Wouldn't you like to be a Tishbite? I think that's just a neat little word. Who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And before I go on, last night one thing I learned as I was studying the thing in Exodus about the manna, in the morning, God would always have the dew first, and then the manna would lay on top of the dew, so they could harvest it. Isn't that neat? I don't think about it. He thinks about it all, though. And here he's talking about there's not going to be dew, there's not going to be rain. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, get out of here, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself to the brook, by the brook, Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And Toddy, that's not the football team. That's the birds. But is that amazing or what? God is going to take his prophet and give him a brook to sit by that's not going to run dry, and he's going to feed him with ravens. I almost said raisins. With ravens. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So when the brook dried up, he had a place for him to go. And the story of him with the widow. And that's in 8 through 16. And the word of the Lord came and told him to go there. So in 10, he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, pray, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. They were ready to commit suicide. They were starving to death. And here comes Elijah asking for a cake. And Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. She said she had a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. And bring it to me. And after, make thee one for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Wow. That's our God. That's our God taking care of his prophet. You know, and Elijah is no better than you or me. He might have been, I don't know if he's closer. We're allowed to be so close to God now through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in those days, he was such a godly man. And God protected him. And he protected that woman and her son. And it says she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and her son and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman and the mistress of the house fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son? And he said to her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft, and where he abode, and laid him upon his bed. And he cried unto the Lord, O Lord my God, hast thou brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. That gives me cold chills. That man, that God needed to show to her. You would think, once she saw the oil and the meal, that would have said to her, this has to be a man of God. But there was this little bit of a doubt in her heart, I guess. Because it says, now she believed when he brought her son, by the grace of God, back to life. God provides. And I think I'll go up to the New Testament first, and then we'll go back to, let's see if I can find the other part of my notes here. It's there. Oh, I'm good for it now. I promise I'll pick and choose. I'm always afraid I don't have enough, and then I end up having more than I need. New Testament provision, how God has provided. Okay. In Matthew 6, I'll go there. And verses 30 and 34. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow will cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you, ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether we shall be clothed? And after all these things do the Gentiles seek, things they seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things on of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we're not supposed to worry about tomorrow. That's a whole other sermon, worry. I got into some of that too. That's good stuff too. We need not to worry. And that's one of the hardest things, I think, for any human being, not to worry. It's just our nature to worry. But he wants us to have that total faith in him. And of course, in Philippians, when it says 4:19, and I think I will read that if I can. I forgot to do it too, but I've taken right to it. Because God is good. Okay, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You can't defeat or anything. You know, this is the word of God. And he's telling us, stop the worrying about tomorrow. Stop the worrying about the future. Put it in God's hands. And I'm not sitting up here telling you that we don't all have those doubts at times. And that's the devil trying to destroy us. He wants us to be fearful. He wants us to be weak. He wants us to be afraid that God can't supply our needs, afraid that he does not have the grace sufficient for us. And you know, when he fed the 5,000, he multiplied that food and fed all those people. They only had a few loaves and fishes, and he was able to multiply that. That's the power our God has. And then in John 3:16, you know what he did for us. He supplied our most important need in our life for salvation. He gave Jesus Christ. So we know that God is on the throne. He knows your physical needs. He knows your spiritual needs. He knows financial needs. He knows your emotional needs. He knows your need for love and kindness and all of those good things in life. And I'll just turn here to that Jesus is the bread of life in John 6:48-51. Okay, 48 to 51. I am the bread of life. And these are the red letter words. I don't know if they're red lettered in your Bible, but Jesus speaking. I am the bread, that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And you know, all the times that I heard the story about the bread coming down from heaven, I never equated that with now in the New Testament that Jesus came down from heaven as the bread of God for us to consume. When we take communion, which that will be later also, I forgot to mention that, you know, we eat that piece of bread as symbolic of his flesh. He is the bread of life. He's the way. 14:16 Matthew. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's a good God. And back there in Psalm 37, where Tommy read, what a beautiful scripture. And we did a Bible study one morning, and I was tempted to bring that tape, or CD, I'm still saying tapes, of David Jeremiah preaching on this. And that was a beautiful teaching on the Psalm 37. And the first time I ever heard this psalm read aloud was at the Williamsport Nursing Home when I was going to my old church, and we would go every month, we would go to visit there and sing. And we went into this lady's room, and she said, "Would somebody read Psalm 37? Well, it's like 40 verses, and we're all going, "Huh, you know, we'll never get out of here." You know how you do, because you're getting tired. And what a beautiful passage of scripture. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. That's before what Toddy read. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off or cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. And then trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And this is the bonus, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's even more than your needs, isn't it? He's a good God. He loves us. Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's his message to us. And I just pray that we all can understand where God is coming from when he's telling us to trust in him. That sounds like we sing the songs, trust and obey. And we see on the coins, "In God we trust." But do we really trust him? There's a stupid commercial on TV about, I don't even know what they're advertising, some lending thing or something. And the guy's saying, "I trust that this guy's going to catch me." And he's going, "No, no, no." And he falls on the ground, you know. And he had a false trust. But our trust is real. Because if God says it in his word, it's truth. No matter what people might want to say. Might want to say it's a fable, it's a story, it's a whatever. It's not really the word of God. But you know, they did studies of the word of God, and they find that through all those different people who wrote, that basically it's through the same author, meaning the Holy Spirit, moved on these people who wrote this word for us to know the word of God. The greatest love letter that'll ever be written. So, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for each one who's here. We thank you for your precious word and your precious promise that you will provide in all ways to us. Help us to trust in you and to do good, and trust that we can delight ourselves in you and that you would give us the desires of our heart. I pray for Pastor Paul one more time this morning, that You would just lift him up and just heal him and just inspire him and help him to come back stronger than ever, Lord. And we just pray for each one who's going out today, be with all of those who are traveling, those who are going to be on the road. We know there's danger out there. We just thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.